Welcome to the Good Work Show, where we highlight the good that makes Atlanta work. To learn more about the show and how your company can tell their story, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Good Work Show. Now, please welcome the hosts of the Good Work Show, Elaine Armstrong and Trenise Lyons.
Audience, welcome to this week's Good Work Show. It's going to be a good show for you today because we are once again in the holiday season and we are bringing back some of our favorite guests from the year to recap some of our favorite interviews.
Yeah. So we are going to kick off after the break with Nicole from Back on Our Feet. Mm-hmm. Great organization. Yep. Helping folks who are going through homelessness, that are working their way out of that, but through running.
Yeah.
And isn't that an interesting combination?
I know. Yeah, it's very interesting. So you're going to want to hear about their organization. And of course, we always like to ask the organizations how people can get involved. If you're a runner or you have a passion for running, or even if you don't, it's a really unique way that they are serving that population. And so I think you're going to want to listen in and figure out how you can get connected. But it is a great organization. We had a chance to participate in one of their events back in the summer, which is when we did this interview. So bringing it back to you this time around so that you can hear it again.
Yeah, without having to do the run-a-thon again.
Right. Or hear it the first time if you didn't hear it the first time.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we have Greenleaf Community Farms mm-hmm. coming on. And this is really cool. Urban farming right within
an apartment complex.
Yeah. And kind of talking about how the folks there are able to support and plug in and participate in it and the benefits. And we've had some farmers on. I still am very intrigued mm-hmm. and interested in this whole idea of urban farming. Like if I put a tomato plant on my balcony.
I don't know if that counts though as urban farming.
Do I have
farming.
To have more than one crop for it to be a farm? Is it like
I
three?
I feel like you have to have more than like a plant in the planter.
So like a tomato plant.
That's just like growing something out your house.
So I need like a tomato plant and maybe like
I don't
a
know.
Collard
I
green.
Feel like it doesn't it have to be in the ground?
I don't know. It's urban farming. So like the people have like the rooftop farms.
Yeah, but it's still kind of like the ground. It's just the ground on the roof.
But it's being the ground in my balcony. Like if I have.
But you're not going to put the whole, you're not going to turn your soil on your thing.
But they still have to make a bed.
Oh, I thought you were talking about in the pot.
I mean, if that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like how big does it have to be a farm?
I don't think that would be. I think you have to have some more than like 10 feet. I feel like there's probably a number.
Well, never mind. If I can't have a farm, I'm just doing it.
I mean, because I would consider like maybe that'd be a garden. You know what I mean? Like once you get to a point, because I could put a garden in my yard,
farm in your yard.
Well, I don't think so. I think it's not even enough space for me to have
a
farm.
My grandpa, so he had.
I just called it a garden.
He had like an acre and he called it the garden. Yeah, he didn't call it a farm.
Yeah,
and it was a good amount of space.
I feel like there's probably a designation that
I'm sure there is.
You have to get to.
He had a lot of stuff out there. Like he had a lot of crops. He didn't have did he have peanuts? I feel like he had peanuts. I wonder now though, because I mean my grandfather's passed away many years, but I kind of wonder if we went out there if there would be
to your grandpa's house?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's been years since anybody has like tilled that land, but I wonder if anything still grows out there.
Weeds.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I wonder if I dig, will I find a potato? Because like he had potatoes, he grew sweet potatoes.
I don't know
and white
how
potato.
Long potatoes
like, I don't
last.
Know how long, like a plant, like if you plant a food growing plant, but you don't tend to it, does it just keep
I feel like
stuff?
after a certain amount, it's going to die because then what do you do with the potato that was in there and you didn't get it out? It would go bad. And then it would just die off?
I guess so. I don't know. I feel like if I wander out there, I find like a random stalk of sugar cane or something.
It might be.
That I feel like it'd just be out there. It'd probably be like 15 feet tall because nobody ever cut it.
The sugar cane, but it needs water. I mean, like, don't you need to fertilize it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That at this point, it would just be like free range sugar cane. Like it wouldn't be tended. It would just be like free range. It would just be
free range.
It'd just be like wild free range. Because I'm sure sugar it grows cake. In the wild, right? Like
you some gonna point, sell free range sugar
cane? I bet you I could make a killing off of free range sugar cane if maybe I sell like, it right. Organic, naturally grown free range sugar cane.
I feel like all sugar cane should be.
Well, not if it's grown. Off of,
grown.
Like, but free range, like.
But free range means you walk in.
I'm walking in.
How are you ranging the
wild
sugar?
Grown or like wild organic?
But not, then it can't be on your farm though.
No, I meant that. Like if I go harvest what he had, that's just out there growing that nobody's paid attention to in 5 years, 10 years.
Now, why is there a bunny with a leash on the screen? I'm just farming. That's how you farm a rabbit.
Do you farm rabbits? Why is there whiskey? Like, what is this? What did you search Google for?
Farm stock photos. Okay.
But why the bunnies? Do they? But like,
I was not the bunny itself. It was the one on the leash. That was what got me.
I know somebody who used to keep rabbits. They had the big ones.
Oh, not but on a leash, though.
I don't know if there was on a leash. I need to ask. I don't know if they walked it. I don't know why you would.
Yeah, you had to hop the bunny.
Hop the bunny. Did you hop your bunny?
I couldn't have a rabbit.
Why?
I could.
Why?
I feel like they're a little bit too close to guinea pigs, which are a little bit too close to hamsters, a little bit too close to mice and rats. It's a little
too. But if you get the big rabbits, they're kind of like friendlier cats.
And there we go.
They're not as mean. They're not needy.
You're really going to the opposite direction.
They're not like dogs. You don't have to like.
I would pick a dog over a cat any day.
Yeah. Well, no.
Yeah, me. I'm a dog person versus a cat person.
Cat?
Look at that. That's the same person.
Oh, it's a cat. Oh, that's cute.
There's pictures of cats and bunnies together.
Being friends.
Same thing.
I have a friend who's afraid of rabbits, and I don't really understand why.
I don't. That would be, they're probably afraid of cats, too.
I kind of feel like.
That is. These are some disturbing pictures.
I don't see how you're disturbed by this. Though the same friend, we were laughing because she likes to watch Discovery ID, like those weird, like real murder mystery stories.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, you like will watch Discovery ID for like 5 hours about like real stories of murder and mayhem and just go to sleep. But if you see a bunny in your backyard, you'll be up for 3 days, like afraid of this bunny rabbit. I'm like, I don't understand.
Well, can watch the first 48. I mean, that's like kind of, you know, those stories, those shows are not, but they're kind of interesting. It's really interesting.
My sister, that show and Live PD is
like. I don't think I've watched Live PD.
You would like it. It's like your ride along, but on television. Because it's literally live. It's literally live. And
is it better than Cops?
I think it's better than Cops because it's live.
Okay.
And the guy Dan Abrams who used to
What PD are they at?
They drop in all over the country.
Okay.
So they have like a desk as like a studio desk, and Dan Abrams from CNN hosts it, and they have like the feeds going on, and when something's happening,
they just drop
in to the different police departments.
Are they on the body cams? Like
yeah.
So that's the footage.
They're on
they
the
get.
Body cams, and they've got camera people that are out there. So they have like the night vision cameras, and they have the body cams of
the cops. That's pretty neat.
But it is like a drop in, drop out. So it's not like Cops where they're editing. It's just like whatever happens.
Yeah, Cops is more like reality show.
Yeah, and it was always like something weird. But this one is, it's because now they have live PD and they have live EMT.
Oh, that's
so they drop into
that would
the
be
EMT
an interesting
calls.
One. I'd rather the fire department, which by the way, shout out to Chief Slaughter.
Hey, Chief Slaughter.
that's all I got to say on that. He's about Leadership Atlanta, but he's just a great guy. I like fire.
We should do
firefighters are the my favorite first responders. Sorry to all the police officers that I know, but I mean they are. They're the nicest.
They are very nice
people ever.
And you can always.
And they have cool hats and equipment, and they get there first.
That's true. They are the first.
They are the first of the first responders, usually.
There's a fire station down the street from my house, and it's always it's interesting. Not my house here, but my home in Florida, and you know they always have the garage door up, and it's always cool when I drive by and you see like the people just walk up there.
Yeah,
the firefighters are always sitting outside. if they're not doing something, you mm-hmm. know, whatever. So it's actually kind of cool. And being in Florida, they're in like their shorts and flip flops and they're kind of hanging out in the station.
Yeah.
It is nice like that you can see the.
You can. They're the most community. Well, I'm not going to say the most. In my experience.
Well, it's a good thing that you don't have a lot of experience with the police.
I mean, I have some. There are some great police officers and law enforcement. I just, as a whole.
They have very good branding. I will say this. Fired.
And they have some calendars, too.
That helps.
I don't know about, I'm not talking about Chief Slaughter because I don't see him. I'm not talking about Atlanta. Anyways, I'm just saying in general.
Yeah.
I've seen.
The calendar. But that's what I'm saying.
But like, it's a fundraising to help out with the fire. And they put their lives on the line.
They've done a very good job, I think, with their making them the most approachable.
Yes. And lots of kids want to be firefighters.
I had one of my favorite Christmas gifts as a kid that I remember to this day was getting a Hess fire truck.
Oh, yeah. Like they probably still have that. It's around Christmas time. Oh, that's when they have them.
My dad buys a Hess truck ever since my nephew's been born. So 15 years, they get. There's a
new
truck. Yeah, and he buys two. He buys one for them to play with and one that stays in the box. I mean, it's the thing.
That doesn't change that much.
No, they do. Yeah.
It is. Because,
like, this year, it's, like, the Hess truck, but then it's got, one year it had jet skis. Like, now they've actually expanded. So it's, like a truck, but then it'll have, like, another, like, an SUV on it that drops off the back, and it's got, like, two trucks.
By the way, we got to have Shirley Ann back on from Atlanta Fire Rescue Foundation, because I remember when we first interviewed her, she was talking about how Santa Claus on the fire truck goes around, and like that would be the coolest thing ever to have Santa Claus on the fire truck roll through.
That doesn't happen in your neighborhood?
I don't know, but I mean, they don't come down my street.
Oh, they like literally at Christmas at my house in Fort Lauderdale, like,
I've seen it before, like, but Christmas I mean, it's Eve. Just that I don't, they're not coming down my street. Oh, although I live around the corner from the fire department. I should go up there.
And they do the siren. And it's actually kind of cool because everybody in the neighborhood comes outside.
Yeah.
So you see everybody out there and they throw the candy canes, but you also see all your neighbors.
Firefighters are the bomb.
On that note,
I mean,
back on our feet.
Yes.
After the break.
You're listening to The Good Work Show. Audience, welcome back to The Good Work Show. We are excited because we have our in-studio guest, Nicole Myers, who's the Director of Development for Back on My Feet, with us in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So way back when, I don't remember how long ago, we had Back on My Feet on the show, and we were excited. It was a really interesting organization, one we hadn't heard of. The mission was great. And we remember it, but we want to remind those who may not remember or those who are new to our show what Back on My Feet is all about. So tell us about that. Tell us about your mission and what you do.
Sure. Well, thanks for having us back in studio. We're really excited. We are growing by leaps and bounds here in Atlanta, so it's a good time to visit again with you all.
Mm-hmm.
So Back on My Feet is a nonprofit operating in 13 cities coast to coast. We're launching in Denver this coming month, so we're really excited. But we utilize the power of running to help people transform their lives from homelessness, addiction, and mental health issues to a much healthier path back to the workforce and back to stabilized housing. So it's a fantastic energy that I think we're able to work with individuals on.
Yeah, absolutely. Really cool.
I know. So talk to us a little bit. You work with folks that are homeless right now, and you're working to get them back stabilized. But talk to us a little bit about the scope of that problem here in Atlanta.
Sure. So, you know, each city has different challenges facing them. And Atlanta is unique, but also not unusual across our country. And every year there's a point in time count that is done to assess how many individuals are living in homelessness in the city of Atlanta. And in the most recent data that we're able to access, just within our very specific city limit boundaries, those 130 miles that are the city of Atlanta square miles, 3,000 individuals are homeless on average every single evening.
Wow.
And that is tremendous to think about. And, you know, each one of those individuals has a unique story to tell, has a very unique situation that they're battling. and trying to provide services for them can be challenging. Mm-hmm. But those individuals are homeless for a variety of reasons. It can be as simple as they lost a job and it was truly a series of unfortunate events. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes those individuals are facing mental health issues. Mm-hmm. They're facing really serious addiction issues, and the grip of addiction and mental health challenges is very strong.
Yeah.
And it can cause reoccurring homelessness. And, you know, particularly in Atlanta, we strive as a city and in within the continuum of care to make homelessness brief and non-recurring. But unfortunately, often with addiction, it is recurring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is it about running that helps, you know, the folks that you are serving with, you know, their homelessness or, you know, battling addiction? What is it about that type of exercise? And,
sure.
And why? And why did you, and I guess, you know, kind of going back, I know you aren't the founder, but,
you know,
if what was it about running that was attractive to kind of motivate?
Right. No, I absolutely, that's actually a fantastic question. When I first took my role with Back on My Feet and I was explaining to my friends what I was going to do, they're like, wait a minute, you're running as part of your job? I don't understand that. No, so you think about it on a daily basis. If you go and you work out, mm-hmm. It might be really hard at first and you're slogging through a workout and it's challenging. But when you finish, you often have that sort of that high of those endorphins of I completed something, I accomplished something. And our founder mm-hmm. was running in Philadelphia, had a regular route that she ran, and ran past a homeless shelter regularly on this, and was consistently asked by several guys that she passed, they might be out for a smoke break, can I come run with you? We want to come run with you.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, one day she said, okay, come run with me. And the result was at the end of that run, those individuals were proud of themselves that they had been able to make it through it, that they had a new confidence, and it was replacing a negative behavior with a really positive, healthy one that can be utilized to help improve depression and anxiety. You know, working out provides a host of healthy benefits.
Yeah.
And particularly for individuals that are in a situation of homelessness, are in a mm-hmm. situation of recovery, it can be powerful because honestly, they can get out and they can do it anywhere.
Yeah.
At low cost.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an amazing community within the running community. And that's really where kind of the magic happens.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. I always said that I wish I was a runner.
You can be. So, I mean, I am very much a non-traditional runner myself. I'm a big fan of a run-walk method. So,
uh-huh. I like a run-walk.
Yeah. Yes. You can do a little, you know, do a little run, do a little walk.
That's
and to
right.
be really honest, our members join us not as maybe marathoners themselves. You know, mm-hmm. they're in a homeless shelter. They've potentially been on the streets or they've been in other recovery facilities. So, they have to build up as well. So we need volunteers of all levels to come and join our circle. So
Trinace, you can volunteer to run.
I'll swing by one morning. We'll go together.
I'm going to promise that. But we'll talk a little bit later about what we will commit to.
Yes.
Okay.
So
yeah. We'll do that. Okay. So talk to us a little bit about how the program is structured. Like so you've got volunteers that are out there running. So how does it all work?
Sure. So we have three shelters in the Atlanta area that we work with on a regular basis. The Gateway Center being mm-hmm. the largest right off of Pryor Street.
And we know the Gateway Center.
Yeah, very familiar. Yeah. So, and then we also partner with Salvation Army on the mm-hmm. west side and yep. Trinity House right at the corner of Auburn and Bell. And we have a program manager who is absolutely wonderful, Heather Turton, and she works closely with these shelters to recruit members. And the thing that we say to our new members is give us 30 days. Just come run with us 3 days a week, 5:30 in the morning. Mm. Yes, we know it's really early.
Does that change your mind about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Actually, no, because.
Well, you're always up early anyway.
I am up early, but I usually am up early from like, I navigate from like my bed to a chair.
Okay. Like, or just run to the chair.
It's like two steps.
Uh-huh. So, I still sleep at 5:30. I'm just going to say so.
But, you know, there is this power that happens when mm-hmm. you get up and you accomplish something so that's early true. In the morning. So, it's yes. all about seizing the day.
That's right. True.
And the idea is that we're running with the members before they are off to their recovery meetings, mm-hmm. meeting with their counselors as they are working on that workforce reentry. But so we ask them to commit to run with us 3 days a week, 5:30 in the morning, for 30 days. Mm-hmm. And on those runs, we offer 2 and 3 mile routes. And we have remarkable volunteers that come from all over the city and circle up with our members and really provide this just amazing community. Mm-hmm. You know, at 5:30 in the morning, in a running circle, people are in t-shirts, they're in shorts, mm-hmm. they're in tennis shoes, mm-hmm. the hair is piled on top of the head, there's no makeup on, there's no pretense. Everyone is really on this beautiful level playing field. Mm-hmm. And some of our members that are in the shelter run far faster than I do, and they're out there helping me to move faster. Mm-hmm. Some of our volunteers are great athletes and are encouraging our members to move faster. So it's this beautiful, just equalized playing field that makes those individuals that are in the shelters feel like they are a part of a bigger community and be able to give as much yeah. as they receive. And that's a wonderful confidence boost when they probably need it the most.
Yeah. Excellent. So one thing that, and I think we talked about this before when we had you on the show, but just I think we should pause right here. So if people are homeless, they don't have the gear to run.
Right.
So that was one thing yeah. I think that came up last time is because, you know, if you don't have anywhere to live, you probably don't have running shoes right. or the best running shoes yep. or maybe right. even any shoes in some cases. Yep. So how does that work? How do they get outfitted with the things that they might need to run and be successful for those first 30 days? Because that's you have to have. You got to have clothes. And once you run in them one day, you're going to need to wash it or whatever to, you know, for the next day.
Sure. No, that's a fantastic question. We are incredibly fortunate to have a wonderful partnership with the Atlanta Track Club. Oh. And through their relationship with Mizuno and other running shoe companies, all of our members are provided a brand new pair of running shoes once nice. They've been out with us at least 3 times. So nice. What, oh, cool. 1 week of running. That is provided to them. We also work with other companies and foundations to help provide weather-appropriate mm-hmm. gear for our members. Mm-hmm. So if in the summertime you're getting a dry-fit shirt that is going to wick moisture away and maybe some basketball running shorts, in the wintertime we are incredibly fortunate. We have a foundation right now that helps us to provide warm-up gear for our members that is logoed mm-hmm. so that when we are out on the streets of Atlanta at 5:30 in the morning mm-hmm. and people see massive groups of people running down the street, they know that we are back on my feet
yeah.
and right. they know exactly what we're out there doing.
So nice.
That's great.
Yeah. Shout out to the partners who are doing yeah. that for you. I mean, that's terrific that they're able to do that, but it's for somebody who doesn't have much or anything to get a brand new pair of running shoes yeah. or things that they can still continue to use is fantastic.
Year day is one of my favorite days. Yeah. When they come into our office and our program manager is getting them outfitted, oh my gosh, like it is Christmas morning yeah. and it's the coolest thing.
Nice.
Well, great. So I think we have about a minute or yep. so left. So before we take a quick break, so let's give folks information about where they can find you. Mm-hmm. What information do they need to maybe join up with you? And then on the other side, we'll come back and talk about some of the other yeah. programs and things that you offer.
No, that'd be fantastic. So finding us is super simple, backonmyfeet.org. And from that, you can navigate to learn more about volunteering with us, not only as a morning run volunteer, but potentially getting involved on one of our boards. You can learn more about our upcoming events and sign up for regular information on what we're doing, not only in Atlanta, but also all across the country. So backonmyfeet.org.
All right. And social media?
We're on Facebook as Back on My Feet Atlanta. And then we have national accounts with Twitter and Instagram as Back on My Feet.
Well, great. Cool. We're going to take a break. And like Trinise said, we're going to come back, talk a little cool. bit more about your programs and just chat with you about maybe some other involvement that I think Trinise is going to, she's going to run with you.
Well, and so is Elaine. So
well, we're recruiting everyone.
We're going to talk about it. Anyway, yeah. We're going to take a break. Audience, we'll be back. You're listening to The Good Work Show. fans, welcome back to the Good Work Show. We are excited because we've been talking all about Back on My Feet, an organization that is all across the country, but has a chapter here in Atlanta. And they are helping individuals who are homeless get back on their feet, literally, but through running. And so it's a really unique concept that engages the members, you know, with that, but then also helps them with workforce development and some other things along the way that they really need to truly get back on their feet. And then they've also got the jumpstart with exercise, which is really cool. So, so tell us about why it's important, because you mentioned before the break that they are required to run for the first 30 days, three times a week at 5:30 a.m. What is it about that 30 days that before they get all of the services that really, why is it 30 days? I mean, can, you know, would there be opportunities for people to get services before? What is it about that, that sort of prerequisite, if you will, that is required and that they're learning and getting something along the way before they jump in and get all the services you offer?
Sure. No, that's a fantastic question. So, you know, part of what we do is we are working with corporate partners to help provide workforce reentry points for these individuals. And the 30 days not only is helping them to build a healthy habit, but it's showing commitment on their part. Mm-hmm. And it's showing the willingness to participate and to give a little when they maybe they don't have monetary resources to give, but they have time to give and they're willing to maybe do something that is hard. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had the chance to talk about that. Getting up at 5:30 in the morning is not easy on the best of days, right?
Right.
And it is incredibly powerful when myself or our program manager are able to go to CEOs and entrepreneurs and say, hey, we recognize that this individual has a gap in employment. But you know what? They've been waking up at 5:30 in the morning to come and run with us 2 and 3 mile routes. And there are a lot of people that will say, ooh, I don't know that I'll do that, but that's pretty amazing on their part. And so it shows a little bit of skin in the game. And then from that point, they're able to enter our next steps phase, which is truly the next step. Mm-hmm. It is pulling together the resume. It is doing trainings to help them gain those soft skills and get accustomed to being back in the workforce after potentially being out of it for so long. And we're incredibly fortunate to have wonderful corporate partners in Atlanta that help us to make that happen.
Nice. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. And actually, I just want to dig in on your Next Steps program a little bit more and just kind of get an understanding of what a day would be like or what would a person experience? So they've gone through their 30 days and now they go into Next Steps. So what are the tangible things they're coming away with out of that
program? Sure. Absolutely. So, you know, our whole idea is to work in partnership and in tandem with what they're receiving in the shelters. And so a little bit of it is individualized based on the person coming through the program and based on their recovery program. So it may be resume development, a lot of it, it's soft interview skills. And then we are really fortunate to have not only local but national partnerships with Marriott Corporation, Bimbo Bakeries, companies that are committed to giving people a second chance in the workforce. And so we're able to make those introductions for them for interviews to hopefully truly provide a smoother pathway back to the workforce for them and honestly livable wage jobs.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. It's a really cool thing to see in action.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how do folks connect with you? So you mentioned that you are partnered with three different organizations that are kind of in the city. Do you do they refer folks to you or do they come to you or can somebody come to you, you know, directly and say, hey, I'd love to join sort of the Back on My Feet program. How does that work?
So at this point in time, individuals do have to be residing in one of those shelters. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some stabilization in their life. Right. We are working to expand. In fact, our program manager has been out this week talking to a few other facilities as we're looking to see how we can better serve others in the Atlanta area. But at the moment, they must be housed either in Trinity House, Salvation Army or Gateway Shelter. And they're wonderful. There are programs within there that refer into Back on My Feet. Mm-hmm. They know us. They're like, there are those running people. Nice. And so we're really fortunate to have great partnerships. I mean, truly, it's how the world works well, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
We all work together.
Absolutely.
So. Yep. Yep.
So you've worked with a lot of different folks who've come through the program. Yeah. So do you have a couple of stories that you can share with us and just kind of help paint the picture for our listeners and our viewers about how does the program impact the folks that you're working with?
Sure. No, absolutely. In fact, we have a really wonderful thing that has happened recently. One of our members who had been in our program, his name is Eli. We met Eli through the Salvation Army. And Eli, if you have seen Back on My Feet around the city, you have more than likely seen Eli. he gets us going when we circle up in the mornings. He is the person as we are doing our warm up saying, "I can't hear you." Like, you know, let's get the energy going. And he has just a remarkable spirit and has run, I believe, 5 marathons.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
Wow.
Remarkable human. And Eli came through our program and was employed through Marriott at the JW Marriott in Buckhead, actually.
Fantastic.
And came back to our program manager as an alumni and said, you know what? It's really important to me to figure out, I've had a lot of time when I was without employment, how do I get the training that I need to potentially upskill, to be able to make a higher wage and maybe regain a little bit of ground from all that time that I lost. Mm-hmm. And so Eli recently made application for a Next Steps grant through Back on My Feet, and we were able to help him go back to technical school where he was able to earn his HVAC certification.
Okay.
And recently graduated. And so he has gotten promoted within Marriott and is at a new facility. And is very excited to be in their engineering department now. And so it's been wonderful to see Eli move from through all of the steps and all of the processes of this path, not only from education and workforce, but also health. I mean, he is a remarkable advocate for the power that running can play in your recovery process on a daily basis. He's also a U.S. Army veteran, and we're really proud of everything that he's been through and been able to achieve.
Wow, that's
awesome.
Yeah,
and really, I was going to ask you earlier, do you have people that come back as an alumni? Do they come back and do they stick with the running group? Because I would assume.
Right, yeah. They want to continue.
I don't know, because I don't. I'm not in a running group, but that you would form a bond so that people wouldn't want to lose that. So do you have folks come back and still stick with the program?
No, we absolutely do. And that is one of the beautiful, I think really beautiful things to see in action in our program are those alumni that come back and are committed to being a mentor to newer individuals that are in our program. One of our great alumni as well. I mean, there's so many individuals, but George has been in our program. We met George at the Gateway Center, and he is now employed at the VA hospital. George is also a veteran and in a wonderful recovery place, and really is committed to coming at least once a week to the group, showing the guys that are there and the women that we are able to serve that there is a healthier path, and it's and it can be a lot of fun. You know, I mean, I think people sometimes get very serious about, they think that recovery, that moving through this is a very serious place, but we like to have a good time. You have to have fun and you have to have joy. And George absolutely helps us to show that every single time we're out together.
That's
great.
Yeah. And you mentioned health too a little bit when you were talking about Eli's story, but not to mention all of the things, other things that they're gaining through the program. They're getting healthier.
Yeah.
If they're running for 30 days and, you know, if you, I'm sure they probably, obviously they, you know, they're not working probably. They don't have a place to live. They probably don't have health care.
Yeah.
They're not taking the greatest care of their body, especially if they're battling addiction. So this is, I guess, like all things working together. I mean, just simultaneously getting them on the path to being healthier, to clearing their mind with running, and then also getting them, you know, back on their feet. It's just really, really good synergy with all of those things.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, you see individuals that have high blood pressure because of stress. They potentially are facing other medical issues such as a higher risk of diabetes. They might actually, this sounds like an odd thing, but they may be overweight even though they've been in homelessness because they are eating unhealthy foods at irregular times. And so it absolutely, it brings that health piece together. It helps the mental health component. All of that feeds together. We work on a whole system.
Yeah.
And when it comes together, it's the coolest thing.
Yeah. So we got about a minute and a half left.
Oh, so we have to.
So you committed, right?
And so do you.
Well, so I only committed to you. I didn't commit to. Nicole. I come back out.
I provided. No, they've got your name in T-shirt size.
Size. Yes. So tell everybody the news.
Yeah. So we, Elaine and I, are going to join Back on My Feet for your. And I'm going to get the name of the event wrong. So tell us what the name of what did we sign up for?
2019 Treadmill Challenge.
Yes. Treadmill Challenge. Yes.
So tell us about it real quick in the time that we've got left.
Sure. Yes. So it is a run-a-thon at the Peachtree Road Race Expo with our great friends at
It's not the Peachtree, though.
No, it's not
clear. We're not doing that.
Okay. We will be in an air-conditioned space.
Yes.
We're keeping two treadmills going for both days of the Peachtree Road Race Expo. We're helping to raise awareness for Back on My Feet and Vital Funds. And we're really excited that y'all have committed to come and keep those treadmills going for part of that time. Yep. We'll have some Back on My Feet members with you, and I think it's going to be a fantastic time.
Yeah, we're excited. Yeah. So you'll have to come by and check us out, you know, or not.
We're not running the whole time. No. By the way, you know, because I'm not a runner either, so we're going to, this is going to be very interesting.
This is totally going to be a run walk.
Yes.
Maybe with an incline.
You know, right. It'll be fun. We're excited to join you.
Give us the dates and where. Yeah.
July 2nd and 3rd at the Peachtree Road Race Expo. If you have a bib and you're picking up your bib, come and see us.
Absolutely. And then you can go to the website and find out more about how to sponsor a team or participate or anything like
that. Absolutely. Backonmyfeet.org.
All right. Well, Nicole, thank you so much for coming by. We appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Work Show. Welcome back to the show. We are sitting here with our next guest, and we have Krista. Tell me your last name, Krista.
Leonard.
Leonard, that's right. And you are with Greenleaf Community Farms.
I am.
Yes. So we love farms on the Good Work Show. We've talked to farmers.
Who doesn't love farms?
Yeah. Well, we don't want to work on one, but let's just.
You would want to work on mine.
Really?
I promise.
Okay. Yeah, so we're excited to dig in. So tell us all about Greenleaf Community Farms and your mission.
Okay, so Greenleaf Community Farms was built through Greenleaf Property Management. So that is our corporate portion of our business. And the property team said, why are we wasting money on building lawns or, you know, taking care of lawns and landscaping? So they brought the idea to bring in the development of agri-hoods. And this is kind of a new niche-y, you know,
Agri-hood.
It's building community around agriculture because food is the thing that we all have in common. Food is the thing that we all love, and it is much more of a conversation starter than a pool and less expensive.
I kind of wish my HOA would go in that direction. Yeah.
You know, they have a lot of agri-hoods that are developed in that way. The thing about us is that Greenleaf then created Greenleaf Foundation, and we are part of the foundation now. So we develop the agri-hoods, and not only do we farm it, but we create programming and education for youth as well as farmers in the Southeast. So we're in the beginning stages, and currently we have three of those farms. And so it's been an interesting progression.
Nice. So talk to us a little bit about how the farms kind of bring people. Like, what is the impact that happens in the communities when you have these farms?
So the way that it works is it's essentially, community supported agriculture. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's essentially where the community makes it possible to have a farm. So our whole philosophy at Greenleaf, not only at the farms, but at the property management, is that we are very focused on the social well-being of our residents. So we are not really amenities like gym and pool focused. We're more like, how do we make the lives of our residents better and easier? Because we're dealing with not only, you know, millennial population, hospitality workers, students, immigrant families, families of all kinds. And we have